It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello, leaders. This is Kurt Frankum. Welcome back to another episode of Leading LDS. Now, I often go down memory lane and look at past posts that are published on Leading LDS. Many of these posts and articles, I spend a lot of time reading and researching in order to put together a really well-rounded article that could possibly help a leader. And it's to the point, I've been doing this so long that I forget these articles I wrote. So I read them as if I didn't write them myself, that it's an article I'm reading for the first time. And I'm referencing books and principles that I found that often amaze me and think, wow, I need to get this out there and share it again. And so about once a week, I try and find a post and kind of republish it, reformat it, and especially push it out through the podcast stream because it hasn't been released in podcast form. And so those of you that are driving or running on a treadmill, you know, you're busy leaders, and so you may not have time to sit down and actually read an article. And so I would like to read some of these articles to you so that you can get them on the go and still internalize the concepts that are understood there. So this is an article I wrote, It was from a book I read. Looks like I wrote it back in March of 2013, and I read this book called The Rare Find, and I'll kind of explain the background on this book and the principles it talks about. But as I read this book, I thought, man, this is so applicable to church callings and the processes that we go through as leaders or presidencies to determine who should serve in what callings. And, you know, from the member who's maybe never been in these types of meetings before, it often seems like, oh, it's a very simple process. I show up to sacrament meeting, they have a list of names to sustain. But when you get into the thick of it, you realize it's quite difficult, especially when you're calling leaders or auxiliary leaders that, you know, are hopefully going to succeed and make positive change in your ward. So here's my article, Finding the Extraordinary to Fill Church Callings. Imagine if you sat on the board of directors for a large Fortune 500 company that needed to find a new CEO to improve the dismal progress of the company. You're not allowed to conduct any formal interviews. You can only choose from people that live in a specific geographical neighborhood, about 350 people. And to top it off, you have to make the decision in only 2 weeks. Filling callings in a ward, quorum, or group can feel just as daunting. Most companies would think it was crazy to simply hire somebody because you know the person somewhat, and they seem like they could handle the task. This isn't like the secular world, where it would require a series of interviews and reference checks before making an offer. Thankfully, in any ward or branch, people are working under priesthood keys held by a quorum president, for example, a bishop or stake president. Special inspiration comes through these keys, and it is remarkable to see the right people chosen for the right calling. Of course, this isn't always the case, since humans are involved in the process. It is beneficial to compare the more secular hiring processes with the church calling processes, because though they are different in their approach, many of the same mistakes can be made. I recently read a book called The Rare Find, Spotting Exceptional Talent Before Everyone Else by George Anders. When I first saw the title of the book, my curiosity was piqued because I have spent many late nights with bishoprics going through lists of ward members simply trying to find exceptional talent for vacant calling. In this book, Anders shares his research on how large and small companies have found new ways of finding extraordinary team members to take their organization to the next level. Just like my example above, not all of the content of the book can be related to an LDS ward or stake, but many hit the nail on the head. Compromise on experience. Don't compromise on character. When pondering over who should serve as the next elders quorum president or, say, high councilman, It's natural to look at one's previous church experience. Have they served in a leadership calling before? Did they serve a mission? Anders writes, "The difference between growth and stagnation comes down to finding people with bold, fresh approaches who can create opportunities that no one else saw before." Close quote. Even with a lengthy church leadership resume, the individual's value may not match the values the quorum needs. I'm not talking about moral values or whether the elders quorum president has a felony on his record. Rather, do they value characteristics that the quorum or group needs? Choosing the elder that is always positive and friendly might not be the best choice when the quorum needs organization and consistency. The bottom line from Anders' quote I just read is having someone with a fresh approach is sometimes all the position needs to succeed. Seek out talent that whispers. Take a moment to analyze the process you go through to determine who is a valid candidate. It doesn't matter which calling you are trying to fill because the process is most likely similar. Choosing an auxiliary leader may feel like a can't-make-a-mistake decision, since so much responsibility comes with the call. Whether looking for a new CFO for a company or seeking a new gospel doctrine instructor for a ward, the reality is people are often overlooked for silly reasons. It is easier to call someone to a certain position that you know will not make a mistake rather than having to release someone later who has created a disaster. However, sticking with the safe choice sometimes makes you miss the extraordinary choice. Ask, what can go right? Yes, you're right. There are millions of reasons why Brother Snores in class shouldn't be the next high priest group leader. He wears a pocket protector, has hair coming out his ears, and doesn't quite know how to use a typewriter, let alone a computer. Instead of making a list of reasons why he probably wouldn't be a good fit, force yourself and your presidencies to ask, what could go right? Draw out the hidden truths of each calling. An elders quorum president isn't someone that is really good at organizing home teaching routes. A compassionate service leader isn't someone that makes a mean chicken casserole. Oftentimes, we see a relief society that needs a sincere individual that can love, and we default to the individual who has done the calling before and is most organized. Over time, we create misconceptions about church callings, which leads us to choose someone that won't produce the desired outcome. The church handbooks gives us basic job descriptions about various callings. These descriptions are not overly specific because they are written for a very diverse international church. It may be helpful to determine focus points for each calling to really understand what the calling fulfills for your ward. And finally, thank goodness for inspiration. There's no set of secrets that will produce the perfect call every time. Individuals within a ward need to be somewhat active, worthy, and not to mention willing to serve. There are many things to consider when trying to make the best decision for a calling. LDS leaders are taught in Handbook 2, a person must be called of God to serve in the church. Seek the guidance of the Spirit in determining whom to call. They consider the worthiness that may be required for the calling. Close quote. The reality is, we should do our best to follow the will of the Lord and seek His guidance through prayer. By being sincere in the process of making the best decisions possible, you won't make any big mistakes. It will all work out, as it should, in the end, by choosing individuals that will grow from the sacrifices they are asked to bear. I hope you took some value out of that article. A really interesting book and great principles there. I encourage you to check it out and maybe read it for yourself. I'm on the lookout for some more How I Lead interviews. This is one of the more popular segments on the Leading LDS podcast, and I can't do it without people to interview. And I tend to trip over a bishop every time I turn around, and that's fine. I love interviewing bishops, and I relate more to them because obviously I've served in that calling recently. But I really want to diversify the type of colleagues that we have on the How I Lead segment, especially the sisters, Relief Society presidents, young women's presidents, and so forth, primary presidents as well. And so I realize that it may feel awkward to volunteer yourself to be on such an interview, but I'm sure you have a unique approach, whether you realize it or not. And so if you're out there and are willing, male or female, to be a part of the How I Lead segment, I would really appreciate you going to Leading LDS and contacting me, or you can email directly at kurt@leadinglds.com. Also, I'll have some exciting news coming up with ways that you can contribute to Leading LDS for really simple ways. And again, the more I can create value from this, the further it will go, and the more time it'll free up for me to focus on this project and, you know, helping improve leadership skills across the world for not only LDS leaders, but volunteer leaders. And if you haven't done so yet, go to Leading LDS and join the newsletter. That's the best place to stay up to date with all things Leading LDS. And until next time, be a leader and not a calling.